May he give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. Beautiful prayer of St. Paul. We need the Holy Spirit to see life as it really is. And even in the first reading, Jesus has been with these apostles for 3 years and has spent all this time nurturing them before he sends them out to evangelize the whole world. And they still don't understand what their mission is. They ask the wrong questions. It's very interesting. Jesus is about to leave them physically and then return in another way. But they don't get it. And we often, life is a process of learning how things really are. God doesn't reveal everything all at once. We probably couldn't take it if he did. And both of how the world really is and my own life's mission and even the issues that I have to deal with before God are not always clear to me. They may be clear to everyone else, but we have to be clued in. So this is why St. Paul says, may the Holy Spirit enlighten your inner mind that you may know what is God's will and all the great gifts that he gives us. In thinking about that, I was reminded of something that happened a long time ago. This weekend is the first time I've ever told this story. When I was young, I was raised by my grandparents. My grandfather had died. And my grandmother wanted to go to her 50th high school reunion in Akron, Ohio. And she didn't want to fly alone on one of my passes at the airline, so she talked me into going with her. And I'll tell you, that was the most boring week of my life. I didn't have a car. There was nothing for me to do there. But I did go with her, I found there were some interesting things that happened. I got a chance to see where she went. She and my grandfather went to high school, Garfield High School in Akron, I dropped her off there, and these people looked at fell over here. As I stood there, and I watched her go in, there were about 200 people there, and I thought, oh my goodness, these people are old. I said, I can't even imagine these people in high school. Now that I'm approaching my 40th high school reunion, they don't seem so old anymore. But that was a long time ago. Now, I stood there for quite a while watching this. It's one of those poignant moments I remember, that was so many years ago. Now, and then I stopped and I went in, used the restroom in the lobby there. And one of her classmates was in there, and he said to me, "Oh, you're very well preserved." And I said, "Oh no, I'm Mary Pincus's grandson." That was my grandmother's maiden name. And before I go on, I've got to tell you, when my family was growing up, my grandparents loved each other very dearly, but they did argue quite a bit. And my mother would always pull out a couple of old stories that she'd pull out. One of them was my grandfather, when he was young, was very handsome with big, thick, curly red hair. By the time I came along, he was bald and gray. And so my grandmother used to say, "I married you for your thick red hair, and now look at you." And he'd say, "Yeah, who did it to me?" That was one of them. I heard that quite a bit. And the other one was, she would say, "I should have married Richard Fisher. I had a chance to marry Richard Fisher." This man's name would come up whenever they had an argument. I got to the point where I hated Richard Fisher. I must have heard that man's name at least 200 times. That's a conservative estimate. And like I said, they loved each other, but this would be brought up. So here I am in the lobby there, and this man said hello to me, and I said, "I'm Mary Pincus's grandson." He said, "I'm pleased to meet you. I'm Richard Fisher." I kid you not. I said, it was worth going just for that moment, I kept my cool, which is not easy when you're in your early 20s. I'm going, "I can't believe this." And then he said to me, "Who did you say your grandmother was?" I said, "Mary Pincus." He said, Mary Pincus. "I don't remember her." I am not embellishing that story at all. And I came away from that. I felt as if the Lord had said to me, you had to live with this growing up. I wanted you to know how it really is. I never told her I met him or what he said. She went to her death not hearing that story, which, you know, I was smart enough not to tell her that. Because she had an illusion about this relationship that was not true. And don't we all have them? And we sometimes can't handle the truth. You know, I don't think she would have needed to know that. And God is very gentle with us. He doesn't let us know all at once what we need to know. The apostles here, I just can't, every time I hear this gospel, every year we hear this, the second reading changes, but every year we hear this first reading. And I can never figure out, he spends 40 days talking about the kingdom of God, and as he's about to go up to heaven, they say to him, Lord, are you going to become an earthly king now and throw the Romans out? That's what they were asking. And he must have thought, oy vey, you know, I've been here 3 years, and he says, don't go anywhere. Stay here until I send the Spirit. You guys don't know what's going on. Even now, they didn't have a clue what their mission was. And that's very interesting, because we can go through our whole lives not really knowing what life is all about. And that's all right. God doesn't explain everything. There will come a time when he's going to answer all our questions. I don't care whether it's science or why we suffer or the mysteries of the universe, the mysteries of our own lives, why did somebody die the way they did. All of this has got an answer, and I can't wait to hear it. But the Lord makes it very clear that if I ask the wrong questions, what he's going to say to us is just what we heard in the gospel. He says, what does he say? It's in the first reading. He says, it is not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. So he makes it very clear in the Gospels what's important to him. What we want to know is what's going to happen in the future, or why did this happen, or what should I do? I want to have all knowledge so I make the right decision. God says, stand back. I'm in charge. My Spirit will guide you. And slowly, I will pierce through the illusion that I don't exist, or that I'm not in control of the world, that I don't have my hand in your life. I want you to see the truth, but it's going to take a lifetime. So allow my Spirit to lead you and guide you. And this is, to me, the Feast of the Ascension is really the feast of God's perspective, seeing things from the Lord's point of view. This is one of the great themes of not only today, but of the whole Bible, to see things beyond what we can see from our earthly plane of existence. Jesus did not leave us. He simply changed his appearance. He continues to be in this world and is very active in each life here. We all have a mission. This is the day of the Great Commission. He gives the apostles, he says, go and make disciples of all the nations. Well, we've inherited that from them. We too have this same mission. But our mission is primarily to the people that we are with, our family, our school, the people we work with, the people we go to church with, the people that we will have recreation with, the people we are driving next to, or the accidental people we meet wherever we are. The person in need, the person that's irritating. All of this is my mission. My mission is to see things God's way and not in a human way. Not just in a human way, but in a supernatural way. So God, the Lord wants to give us this great insight so that we, as much as we can handle it, are freed from illusions that lead us to the wrong conclusions in our life. We all have them. And God is very gentle with us. But I think a lot of us on the last day of our lives are going to be in for kind of a surprise, because we've never really taken a good look at ourselves. I'm going on a retreat next week with the diocese. Almost all of us priests will be at Mount Angel. And I always ask God the same question. Help me to see things as they really are in my life, in the parish, and as so far as I need to know. Because by myself, I don't have what it takes to lead this community or even my own life. I need God to guide me. And that's why we come away to walk with Jesus like like the apostles did for 40 days, you know. So today on this Feast of the Ascension, this Feast of the Divine Perspective, we ask that God slowly will begin to pierce the illusions we live with so that we can see life as it really is and really fulfill our mission that God wishes for us. For this, we need the insight of the Holy Spirit. He says, don't do anything without inviting my Spirit into your life, and then you will have power from on high to do my will, my way.